Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. Oh, that's good. That's good. Such a worshipful song, O Holy Night. And one line there, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. We're living in a weary world today, aren't we? We need a thrill of hope so we can rejoice too. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, O night divine. O night when Christ was born. See, he is our thrill of hope. The world's full of cheap thrills we keep chasing after. I know I spent a lot of foolish years chasing the cheap thrills of the world, but Christ is our thrill of hope, right? A thrill of hope. He's our living hope. We sang that earlier. That's our theme today, hope. And that's the title of our message on this first Sunday of Advent, hope. We're going to be in Romans chapter 15 and Psalm 25. So, Lord, when we get to your word, Lord, open it up for us. Make it come alive and speak to us in a fresh, new way this morning. We need some fresh manna from heaven, Lord. Yesterday's won't do. So speak to us. Teach us. Teach us from the word. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Come and teach us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we get into the morning's message, let me say a few things about this thing. In case you're wondering, a lot of you know, it's the Advent wreath. It's a symbol, okay? It's a symbol. It's not in the Bible, but there's parts of the Bible are represented in the wreath. And I always like to explain this every year so people don't leave and say, that's a weird place. They had some candle and wreath in there. You know, it's not in the Bible. But we treat the Advent wreath here like a three-dimensional PowerPoint slide. That's what it represents. We don't worship it. We don't pray to it. We don't even sing to it. It's a visual symbol of the Advent season. And number one, it's round and circular, no beginning and no end, right? Our God has no beginning and no end. Two, it's made with evergreen branches that are evergreen, especially these. They never change. Our God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Third, the Advent wreath has candles. Candles give light in the darkness. Right? Jesus is the light of the world. There's no darkness in him. When the light comes, the darkness has no choice but to leave, right? Light and darkness can't occupy the same space at the same time. You don't have to be a Christian to believe that. That's just science, right? So when the light comes, the darkness leaves. And each candle represents a different theme. The first purple candle that we're going to light this morning represents hope, because Christ is the hope of the nations. The second purple candle is the candle of love. Jesus is the lover of our souls, and we know God so loved the world that he gave his son. The third candle, the pink candle, is the candle of joy. We know the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there's a psalm that says, in his presence there is fullness of joy. Excuse me. And the fourth candle, the other purple candle, is the candle of peace, because we know Jesus is our Prince of Peace. So there's four attributes: hope, love, joy, and peace. They're all attributes of Christ. And then the white candle in the center is called the Christ candle, and it's white because of his purity and white because of his holiness. And it is strategically placed in the center of the wreath, which is symbolic of where he belongs in your life and in my life, right in the center. Not off to the side somewhere, right in the center, amen? And each Sunday of Advent, we light more candles. So as we get closer and closer to the celebration of Jesus' arrival, the light gets brighter. And as the light increases, the darkness decreases. And that's always my prayer for all of us during the season of Advent, that his light will increase in our lives, so any darkness in our lives will have to decrease, amen? That's a good prayer, so I pray that for us all. All right, I asked Dan and Wendy if they would come and start us off, and light the first purple candle of Advent, the candle of hope, and share some scripture on hope.
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 and 31 says, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint."
Thank you, man. That's a good one for sure. All right, like I said, Advent is a season of preparation and anticipation, so it's a time of waiting. And it seems we're all waiting on something, aren't we? We're all waiting on God to do something in our lives or in the life of a loved one. This isn't on the screen, but in Galatians 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But when the right time came, God sent his Son." When was the right time? It's when God says so. When is the right time for you? When is the right time for me? It's when God says so, not when we say so. But too often, we don't want to wait for God's time. That's a problem with being eternal. Time's no big deal, but to us, an hour, a week, a month, it's a big deal. And too often, we don't want to wait for God's time. So we decide when the right time is. And then we wonder how things could have worked out better for us if we just waited on God's timing instead of taking matters into our own hands. But when the right time came, God sent his Son. That was Christ's first advent. And when the right time comes again, and I know we're getting closer and closer. Every day we get a day closer. But when the right time comes again, God will send his Son again for his second advent, his second arrival, his second coming. Some of us are ready for him to come right now, like right here, right now, or tonight. Some of us have been ready for him to come back for years. And maybe some of us aren't really quite ready for him to come. And if that describes anyone here today, let me activate the warning lights. We're talking about where we'll spend eternity. You want to be ready for his return. Don't play around with your eternity. If you're not sure about your eternity, we need to talk before you leave here today, okay? Right now, we're living in the in-between times. The time between Christ's first advent and his second advent. There won't be a third advent, okay? There won't be a third advent, so make sure you're ready for his second advent. And until then, we're in this season of waiting, but it's waiting with a confident expectation. That's what hope is. That's what real hope is, real biblical hope. I mean, the world's definition of hope is a little more than just wishful thinking. Like, I hope my favorite team wins today. Or I hope that light stays green. I hope she says yes. I hope I win the lottery. I mean, that's not hope. That's not real hope. That's wishful thinking. But real hope, real biblical hope, is a confident expectation in the promises of God. But you know what I learned? God will fulfill all of his promises. But I learned not all of them will be fulfilled this side of heaven. I remember Bobby and I sitting in this large conference room several years ago in a hospital in Atlanta, and all the experts, all the heads of all the departments we dealt with during our daughter Amy's illness, they were all there, and they had pretty much, in so many words, told us there's nothing more we can do. But I don't give up easy. I wasn't ready to let her go. I still had hope, right? That's what we're talking about today. I still had hope in God's promises for Amy here. I had hope that verse in Psalm 41:3, it says, "The Lord sustains them on their sick bed and restores them from their bed of illness." I had hope in that promise for Amy. And I had hope in the promise in Isaiah 53. It says, "And by his stripes we are healed." Not maybe healed, will be someday healed. No, we are healed. And I had hope in that promise. Yet the more we prayed and the more and more people prayed, the worse she got. And there we were, Bobby and I, two desperate but hopeful parents. And I remember the guy in charge of the meeting, he asked me, he says, "Mr. Zwart, He said, what are your goals for your daughter, Amy? And I thought, what? What are my goals for Amy? I thought, okay, you ask, so I'm going to let you have it. And I said, I want to see her jumping up and down again at a Christian rock show. Amy loved going to see the Christian bands play. There was dead silence in the room. As I looked around the room at all these heads of departments, all these medical geniuses, I could tell by looking in their face, they were thinking, this guy has completely lost touch with reality. And I sensed that, so I told them, I know it would take a miracle for that to happen, but we believe in miracles. Again, dead silence, not a word. And as most of you know, we didn't get that miracle here. And we held out to the very last moment, saying, Lord, if you're going to do something, now's the time. But after that meeting, Bobby and I walked out kind of numb, and the head of the pulmonology department, he caught up with us walking down the hall. He put his arm around me. He said, Mr. Z, I believe Amy will jump in down again at a Christian rock show, but it might not be here. And I thought about that, and I thought, yeah, you're right. It might not be here. And I realized I was putting my hope in the promises of God for Amy here, in this lifetime, not the eternal life to come. I was still telling God how I wanted him to answer our prayers here. Instead of trusting in his ways, knowing his ways are so much better and greater than mine. So my prayer had to change, and it was hard, but my prayer changed to, okay, Lord, you know our heart. We don't want to let her go. We want to see her restored here. Think of the testimony she'll have to share with so many people. Please. But then I had to pray, Lord, if you're not going to restore her here, if you're not going to heal her here, then take her home, because she's in way too much pain. And she was in pain for a long time, longer than she should have been. But it wasn't very long after that Amy did go home. To be with the Lord, and I believe she is jumping up and down again at a Christian rock show. It's in heaven and not Tennessee. And I tell you all this on this morning, not for you to feel sorry for us, but to be encouraged by this, to trust God more and to believe in his promises and believe that he will fulfill all of them, but not all of them will be fulfilled this side of heaven. He'll fulfill every one of them at the right time. And he gets to determine the right time, not us. And that was a hard lesson for me to learn about where I was putting my hope and how specific I was with my hope in God's promises. So I hope all of you learned that lesson too, but I hope it'll be a whole lot easier for you to learn it than it was for me. Okay? All right, let's look at a scripture about hope on this Sunday of Hope. Romans 15, verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Another translation, that verse reads, they give us hope. These promises, they give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises. He's in the waiting, right? Are we waiting patiently for God's promises? Because it says, but when the right time came, God sent his son. And while we're waiting for the right time to come, let's remember Jesus and the Father are still working. They're always working for our good. They're working for their glory and for our good. And I know sometimes it sure doesn't look like he's working for our good. Sure doesn't feel like he's working for our good sometimes. But what's that song we sing sometimes? Even when I don't see it, you're working, right? Even when I don't feel it, you're working. He never stops. He never stops working. And we sing those words, but do we believe them when we've been waiting and waiting and praying and fasting for some kind of breakthrough or some kind of change to take place and still nothing's happening? Can we still sing, even though I don't see it, you're working? Jesus himself tells us in John 5, verse 17, my Father is always working and so am I. Those are Jesus' words, not just a lyric to a song we like. My Father is always working, always working, and so am I. So we can have hope in that truth as long as we're willing to leave the schedule and the timetable to him. There's an old hymn from 1744. It's a great Advent song. Charles Wesley wrote it. It says, come, thou long-expected Jesus. Right? Long-expected. These people are waiting and waiting and waiting. Born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Hope of all the earth. There's that word hope again. Hope of all the earth thou art. Joy of every longing heart. Hope of all the earth thou art. He's the hope of all the earth. He's the hope of the nations. And one of my favorite verses on real hope is Romans 15, verse 13. We use this occasionally for somebody's birthday slide, but it's such a good verse. It's so full of encouragement and fullness. Look at Romans 15, verse 13. The Apostle Paul writes, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope. I love that. Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. What a powerful verse. That's a great verse. This is actually a prayer or a benediction Paul is decreeing over the believers in Rome. And notice that he's addressing the Romans. He's addressing us too. But he's addressing the Romans, but he's calling on the God of hope to come and do it. Right? And he mentions three of the four themes of Advent: hope, joy, peace. So let's just break this verse down a little bit. Chris, leave it up there for a while, please. May the God of hope, see, no matter what our circumstances are, there's always hope in God and in his promises and in his ways. Remember, our hope in God isn't just wishful thinking. It's faith and it's assurance that God is who he says he is and God will do what he says he'll do. And great is thy faithfulness. That's what we're saying. So great is thy faithfulness. Even when we're unfaithful, he's faithful. So he's our God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Not just a little. All joy and peace as you trust in him. See, our joy and our peace are from God too. It's not like the world's temporary pleasures come and go. I said before, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It runs deeply through every fiber of our being. Now, we may not always be happy because our happiness is determined by outward circumstances, what's going on around us, right? I used the illustration years ago, when I have a big bag of pistachios, I'm a happy boy. But when I get to the bottom of the bag and I'm licking my fingers and dipping the salt from the bottom of the bag, I'm not as happy as I was. Why not? I'm out of pistachios. But our joy, see, joy is an inner strength that our circumstances can't touch. I hope that makes sense. All right. And not only does God give us joy, he gives us perfect peace, a peace that passes all understanding, right? And our God of hope fills us with all joy and peace as we trust in him. That's the key, as we trust in him. See, Paul isn't asking God to just dump joy and peace into our hearts to be nice. He's asking that as the Romans and as we trust in God more, that our faith in him will bring joy and peace into our hearts. And that joy and peace will increase to where it overflows from our hearts. And it makes an impact on everyone we come in contact with. God wants us to be super spreaders of his hope and his joy and his peace and, of course, his love. If we're going to be super spreaders of something, let it be this. Yeah? And Paul realizes the believers in Rome, they couldn't do it in their own strength. And God knows we sure can't do it in our own strength. So he adds, so that you may overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us the power to do these things. Right? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need the Spirit of God because Holy Spirit strengthens our faith. Holy Spirit empowers our ministry. Holy Spirit gives us the peace and the joy that overflows in hope, something we all need more of, especially these days. So be encouraged by this verse. It's a prayer for fullness that leads to an overflow. Some overflows aren't good, but this is a good overflow, an overflow of hope. All right, I got one more passage on hope, and then we'll open up the front for some ministry time, and Lisa will come join me in case you want prayer from either one of us. We'll be available to you. I love this passage. This is Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. It says, Show me the path where I should walk, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope, where? In you. All day long I put my hope in you. This is King David, and he's asking for God's help. Show me. Point out the right road. Lead me. Teach me. He's the king. He holds the highest position of authority in the land. Whatever he says goes. He don't need help from anybody. But he's wise enough, even though he made some really serious mistakes. But he's wise enough. Even King David realized there's a much higher authority over him. I wish some of the people in positions of authority today would realize that. No wonder David's referred to as a man after God's own heart, right? Are we as willing to seek God's heart when it comes to decisions we need to make? Are we willing to ask him, show me the path where I should walk, O Lord? Are we willing to ask the Lord, point out the right road for me to follow? Are we willing to ask him, lead me by your truth and teach me, for you're the God who saves me? Are we willing to ask the Lord for that kind of direction for our lives and then listen to him? I thought, well, I didn't mean that, Lord. Do we trust him more than we trust ourselves? Or do we somehow think that we know better than the king of the universe? We know better than the creator of the heavens and the earth. When did we get so smart? Is our hope in ourselves and our abilities, or is our hope in the Lord? Because look what King David said. All day long I put my hope in you. Not myself, not my power, not how many people are under me. All day long I put my hope in you. And that's a word for us today. Not just on Sunday mornings. Not just while we're here. Not just when our first three options fail. But all day long I put my hope in you. I pray that we can all come to God and ask him to show us whatever it is we need, to lead us wherever he needs to lead us, to teach us, because we put our hope in him all day long too. Amen? Instead of ourselves. All right, let's pray. Lisa, if you'll join me down here. Remember, if you're willing to contribute to the Christmas baskets, there's a list out on the table. Put your name and whatever number, whatever you can bring. We've got two more weeks, next Sunday and the following Sunday, 18th, to bring them in, and we'll see how we do. But thank you. Thank you so much. This is such a giving, supporting church. Stand with me if you're able. We just want to have a closing prayer, and then we'll open the front up if anybody wants Lisa or me to pray for you. Lord, we thank you on this Sunday of hope that we can look in your word and find out what real hope is, real biblical hope, not the wishful thinking of this world. So often we fall into that trap. Well, I hope this happens. I hope that happens. It's wishful thinking. It's not based on anything we can count on. But we know we can count on you. All your ways are good, whether we understand them or not. And your timing is perfect. Although we often think, come on, Lord, where are you? Hurry up, Lord. I need this now. So, Lord, we are people who need to hear your voice louder than the other voices telling us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. you're eager to hear from your children. So let us spend more time in your presence, seeking your heart, like David, seeking your heart. None of us are perfect. We all tend to screw up from time to time, but yet David kept coming back to you, kept coming back to you. So, Lord, I just ask blessings over each one of us here today. Whatever we're waiting on, whatever's going on, we'll have our hope in you, not just once in a while, but our hope should be in you all day long. Amen and amen.